I just finished this great book. The Bible's a great book too. Just want to say that up front. But I finished this really great book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And while I was reading it, there's this little portion that the author talks about, and he begins to describe a couple of things that have really set the tone for history, and they kind of blew my mind. I thought it was a cool way to just kind of open up what we're going to talk about. So I want to share a couple of these with you and just pretend like it blows your mind too, and this is really intriguing, okay? So check this out. A couple of things. First, did you know that monks back in the 6th and 12th century and in between that time period, they would pray 7 times a day? Now, that part didn't blow my mind, but I thought that was interesting, right? Now, the idea that what happened is trying to pray 7 times a day, day in and day out, got super complicated. Keeping up with it, trying to get the timing just right. And so it was actually the monks, you ready for this, that created the first mechanical clock. Mic drop. Somebody write that down because you're going to win a trivia contest because of that. Fascinating, right? Now, the truth is time didn't really change according to clocks until really, it was Cologne, Germany, I think, in the 1300s that they finally put a clock tower up. And that was really where time started to really adapt. But it was really the monks that created it. Now, why that's interesting for me is because at that point, you slept and the rhythm of life was all natural, right? It was just based off the seasons, based off of the sun. Now we wake up in the morning, most of us, to an alarm clock, right? So it's forced. We move ourselves into these places because of technology. And so the clock, though started back then to enhance prayer, has now sped us up, really. The next one I thought was maybe even more fascinating is the light bulb. Do you know how many hours people slept on average before the light bulb was created? Take a guess. It could be interactive tonight. It's cool. 10, 12, right in the middle, 11. 11 hours was the average, all right? So some slept more, some below. Why? Because they just woke up when their body told them to wake up, and they went to bed when there was no more light because there was nothing to do. How many hours do you think we get on average now? 7. I did like 6 better. It sounded more dramatic. 7. We lost 36% of our sleep with the initiation of the light bulb. That's interesting. Interesting. And then there's one more. What happened in 2007? Anybody know? Come on, this is trivia. The introduction of the iPhone. And it was on that day. Actually, now it's worth noting. There were 2 other things that happened. This is for fun. I'm not a history buff, by the way, so it's going to end after this. But not only did the iPhone come in 2007, so did Facebook became public in that. Now it wasn't just college kids. Everyone could do it. And then Twitter also launched. So there were a couple big things, but really it was the iPhone. And now that the iPhone has come into existence, you and I have access to work, information, games, social media, all day, 24/7. And so even though we may not be working on our vocation, we're constantly inundated, right, with just things. You know that. That's not new information. I say that to you because when you start to put these together, what we begin to realize is, man, we are swimming upstream. Wow. I mean, we wake up when we need to, not when our body says we need to. We are constantly on the move. We stay up late. If you're in college and we're working on college ministry here, you're cramming and doing all that. We are in a totally different world. And then when you are home resting, most of you are doing this. I know, because I see you at the restaurants and the coffee shops, and this is all you do. Even when you're on a date, you're still doing this. That's why it didn't work out, by the way, just a hint. But the reality is our minds are constantly being just bombarded. And this is so dangerous. So dangerous for us. Now, Abe and I are starting a series today and for the next 4 weeks, a little summer series that we're calling Staycation. And tell him you love the name because I came up with it, all right? Just that's a little tip. But Staycation, and the idea was, hey, this summer, people are going to probably go on some vacations, but some people will experience a staycation. Now, it kind of became a thing during COVID. All of a sudden, staycation was a thing. But the idea of a staycation is you go on vacation, but instead of traveling away, you stay local. And the idea is you try to experience and find new things and really enjoy in a new way the things that are around you. And I was thinking about that, and it came to mind that, man, that's a helpful thing in life as well. That, sometimes we think about, if you're like me, I'm constantly thinking about, man, I just want to do something. I want to be helpful, make an impact. I want to help other people and all those kinds of things. And sometimes we miss the impact we can make right where we are. And I remember growing up, I went on a ton of mission trips. I don't know if you've done that yet. I would encourage you to go on one. It really can be life-changing. But I went on multiple mission trips, and I got to a place where I thought, man, I have to go away to make an impact. And the more I've been around, the longer I've lived, and the longer I've done ministry, I've realized that my greatest impact has always been right where I'm at. It's right with the people I'm at, the family that I'm around, the workplace environment that I'm in. And so the idea of staycation was, man, let's get our minds thinking about how we can take advantage of what's right in front of us and make an impact. So we came up with a couple of things that we'll cover over the next few weeks, and that's impacting our church, our community, and our families. But before we can get into that, the more I thought about it, I realized, man, if we are going to impact things and people well, we got to make sure we take care of ourselves. And one of the things hopefully you're going to try to do, I know some of us work through the summer now, but for those that even can just get away, is in the summer, hopefully you're going to try to take some time to rest. And that's really what I want to lean into tonight, is how important it is that you and I rest. Because what happens when we rest is we refuel, we recharge, and now we're better ready to step out and help make an impact on the people and the things and the stuff that we do. But if we don't rest, eventually we hit this rock bottom moment, and this is why most of us find ourselves in trouble, because, man, we are going, distracted. Even if we're at home sitting, our minds are always racing. You ever notice how you watch a Netflix show or whatever streaming option you have? There's too many. They all combine into one. Isn't that be cool? Anyways, Netflix, you sit down, you watch a whole show, and you're like, wow, I enjoyed the show, but you still feel like what? You feel like trash, right? Because you sat on the couch, you really did nothing. I don't know, maybe you don't. It happens to me. Y'all just looked at me like I was really weird. So good for you. I don't know how you did. But when I sit around and do nothing, I end up feeling worse than I did before I made the plan to sit around and do nothing. I think the reason is we're not wired for that. But we do have to experience rest. We want to do it in a way to recharge. Now, the author of Genesis, Moses, hints at two things that I think are really important for us to understand about just human beings in general. I'm going to share them with you, and they'll drive kind of where we go tonight. He says first in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26, he said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." So he's talking about the creation of man, and he uses this statement, let's make man in our, God does this, not Moses, let's make man in our image. Okay, then he goes on in chapter 2, and he says, in verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Now, I want you to notice two things. First, in the first verse, he uses the word image. Then in the second verse, he uses the word dust or ground. He uses both of them. Now, both of those are very interesting, and they're actually very telling. See, the first one, image, gives us this idea that, man, we are full of potential. Made in the image of God, there are so many things we can do. God designed us to be relational and to do these things and make an impact on the world, all this. Wow, that's exciting. There's so much potential. But then he says, but you're also made from dust, that you are made from a biodegradable material. In essence, what he's saying is there are limitations on each of us. Made with great potential, but also have limitations. And most of us, if we're honest, don't always pay attention to this. And so we chase after our potential, right? Because we want to do all these great things, man. We want to be helpful. We want to be successful in school and work and all this stuff. So we're chasing. And eventually we bypass our limits and we find ourselves exhausted, burnt out, maybe even wrestling with depression because we've moved past what we're capable of doing. Now, when you hear that, you might be like, that doesn't sound very exciting. Well, it can be when we understand it and we prepare for it. And that's the whole point. If we can prepare that and understand that, man, even though I have all of this incredible potential, there are also limitations that I must keep in mind. It's going to help to protect us. Now, maybe some of you have that strong personality, that go-getter mindset, and you're like, that's for everybody else, but not me, all right? I can do anything. Well, just for you, I have a couple things I want to share with you to remind you why and how you are limited, and I think this will be helpful for all of us. A couple of things that bring our limitations to light. Number one, our bodies in themselves. Like, you and I can only be in one place at one time. I know you could argue with technology, but reality is physically, we can only be in one place at one time, at least for now, all right? And if that changes, I don't know what I'm going to do, okay? We can only be in one place at one time. There are limitations on your body. You can only go a couple of those all-nighters, and then eventually you're going to break down, right? So there are limitations just on us physically with our bodies. There's limitations on our mind. You can study. You can get more degrees than the thermometer, and yet still you get that? And yet still not learn everything. There will still be things that you don't know, because no matter how hard you try, you are incapable of knowing everything. Scripture actually tells us this. There are limitations. There's limitations in your gifting and in your talents, right? You can practice and learn and develop and try to do all these things, but there will always be stuff that you can't do. And especially there will be things that you can do really well, and then there'll be some things you shouldn't do. Like, example, some of you are great singers right there, but you shouldn't be up here, right? There's a limitation there, right? That was free. Hang on to that. And if you don't know, ask the person next to you and they'll help you and tell you. But the reality is, man, there's limitations on our giftings and our talent. And that is actually, by the way, God's design. He did that on purpose because it forces us to rely on each other. Man, we need each other because we can't do everything. We don't know everything, but man, we come together and all of a sudden we make a thing. You're limited by your personalities. We all are. Some of you are extrovert, some of you are introvert. The extroverts, you get charged up when you're around people. Man, that fires you up. That gives you energy and excitement. That's how you recharge. If you're an introvert, you already know the opposite is true. You get charged up when no one's around. In fact, you're a little anxious right now because there's some people sitting next to you and you wish you had got your own chair, right? And so there are limitations even in our personality. A couple more. Seasons and responsibilities. Think about it. A college student versus someone that's a single, maybe just started their career, versus parents that have young children. They are all in a different season. There are different limitations. The college kid probably has a little bit more time, but there's still limitations, and those responsibilities change. There may be a day now where you're working underneath someone. One day you may become the boss, and you're gonna have a whole new set of responsibilities that are gonna ultimately become limitations because now you're responsible for things and for people. And so all of this is, I know some of you are like, this is depressing, right? But it is kind of depressing, and yet it's so important because some of us think, man, I have no limitation and I can do everything. And it is healthy to have proper perspective that, man, I can't do everything. And when I lean into that, I can actually set myself up for better success. And this is the idea of rest. You know, one more, by the way, the average life, y'all remember this series, the 4,000 weeks, is how many years? Anybody remember? 80 years. Y'all were close. Put it together and make it work. 80 years, right? So at best, at least on average, you got 80 years. And some of you are halfway there. Some of you have already passed that. So wherever you are, just know, man, we have limitations, but we lean into it and we're good. Now, for those of you that are kind of nervous, here's the good news. God prepared for this. God prepared for this. In Genesis 2, after God had finished the 6 days of creation, he has Moses pen something that's important. Let me read it to you. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. You notice the word? He rested. Now, let's be honest. Do you think God, if you believe in God, I understand there may be some here that are kind of exploring, and I get that. For those of you that follow and believe God, do you believe God needed to rest? Good. The answer would likely be no, given our history and our Bible. No, God didn't need to rest. In fact, if God rested, we might be in trouble because Colossians 1:17 tells us that he's holding this whole thing together. So if God decided, man, 6 days, I did it. Look at that. Everything's beautiful, perfect. And he got a lazy boy, kick back, grab a cold one. We might be in trouble, all right? Because he's holding this thing together, right? Some of you are really offended by that. Apologize. God is always moving, always working, but it says that he rested. It says that he stopped. This is kind of where some people start to argue about a Sabbath. We'll talk about it in just a second. The idea here is not that God ceased doing everything. It's that he ceased creating, that he started to do something different. Now, one plan to say this, I'm going to give you a free tip. For those of you that have a vocation that's pretty standard, Monday through Friday, whatever, the best thing you can do to experience rest is to do something different. It's not to cease all things and sit on the couch and watch Netflix, but to do something different. Example, I enjoy working out. Some of you would be like, that ain't rest at all, and that's crazy. And I totally get that. I respect that. But for me, that's helpful. So doing something different, if you use your mind, typically at your job, like we all use our mind, but if you're a big thinker or maybe you do with numbers information, you would be wise to get outside, to go do something physical, something different. Or maybe it's a reverse. Maybe you're always working with your hands. You're constantly going during the week. You might want to get out and just do something that's a little bit more thought-provoking. The idea is that God did something different. He's creating a pattern for us to follow. Now, when God was establishing everything, there was a season of our history where God was establishing an entire nation, the nation of Israel. We read about this in the Old Testament. And when he was establishing the nation, he established something that you probably have heard about before, which is the Sabbath. And the idea was it's a day set apart, just like he said here, a day set apart to rest and to worship God. Now, the Sabbath, again, that word comes from the word Shabbat, which means to stop. And the idea here is the same for all of us. Now, we don't necessarily worry too much about mandating a Sabbath, but the idea here is the pattern that God had created is helpful for us to lean into. That you and I know at some point we hit a place where we can't go anymore and we need rest. And if you're wondering, maybe you are, I don't know, you're wondering if, you know, maybe you're kind of skeptical and you're wondering if this God thing is real. If you're wondering if he's on to something, I'm just curious. Has anyone ever heard of what France tried to do with their work week? Anybody ever heard of this? This is a long time ago. France tried to just bust up the equilibrium here. And they tried to move to a 10-day work week to see if they could boost productivity and get the economy going. Anybody want to wonder what happened? You curious? Nailed it, right? Not at all. You know what happened? Productivity went the other way. The economy completely crashed. And more importantly, the suicide rate skyrocketed. It's like even in this pattern, the world even understands, oftentimes by trial and error, that, man, we must rest. It must be established as a pattern for you and for us. So God prepared for this, but then even better, Jesus modeled this for us. As he was walking the earth, as he was moving around and doing ministry, he modeled this so well. Now, you'll notice if you read your Bible, Jesus was never in a hurry, okay? And if you wonder about that, go read the story about Lazarus. As he's dying, and they came to get him and said, he's dying, you got to go. He just took his sweet time. Lazarus ended up dying. The story gets really exciting later. Go read that in your own kind of personal time with the Lord. But he was never in a hurry, yet he was always carving out time to do what he needed to do and to spend time with God. Look at what it says in Luke 5. It says, great crowds gathered to hear him, Jesus, to be healed, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Now, he made this a habit, and some of you are like, okay, but that's Jesus, right? So, of course, he did everything right, and so he did the perfect setup to break away and have his little quiet time. But the reality is, even for Jesus, it wasn't always perfect like this. In fact, in Mark 6, I'll just read it to you, there's another moment that happens that was very different. The apostles returned to Jesus, and they told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to, there it is again, desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from the other town to get there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, talking about Jesus, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So the plan was to get away and rest, and the rest was even interrupted. But notice what he did. He pivoted, right? He realized, okay, the plan was these guys need to rest. I need to rest. But things have changed. And this is the reality. Even Jesus made audibles in this season of rest. And this is why we say we don't want to get too hung up on like, this is what you have to do. You've got to do it this way. And you've got to take a hold. You've got to figure out what works for you, but you can't neglect the fact that you need rest. And for Jesus, he had to pivot. But here's the kicker. Even when this happened, Jesus always made time to get away and rest, even if it meant late at night or early in the morning. And some of you maybe here have young kids. And if you have young kids, you realize, man, everything changed when kids came. Like, they're a great joy, they're really special, and they're really sweet. But they screw everything up too when it comes to the schedule. Like, they do their own thing whenever they want. And it's funny, I have young kids, 8 and 5. On the school days, they just sleep in. But then on the weekends, it's like, oh, wake up at 5 a.m. That sounds great. It's amazing, right? So there are all these obstacles. And so sometimes we'll pivot in different seasons of our life, but we follow the model that Jesus had where even when it was hard, even when it required making adjustments to the schedule, he made it a priority. And I think he needed it, but it also modeled for you and I how we can do this or do this well. And so with that, hopefully now you're going, okay, I get it. We need rest. This is good. But how, what does this look like? What do we do? Now, I'm not going to give you an 8-point, here's how you rest, here's get 8 hours of sleep and all that. You can go Google all that, and I don't, maybe it'll be true. But what I want to give you is something that really Jesus modeled for us, and it's just two words, okay? And these are the two words. Now, actually, before I say that, I want to say this. You do not have to do this. This is just something I think could be helpful, all right? And I also want to say this is going to sound, and I'm going to intrigue you, I hope, a little bit. It's going to sound like kind of a New Age-y thing, like I'm telling you to go, like, sit in a corner under a tree and draw. This is not a New Age thing. This is just what Jesus did in his ministry, but just I'm preface that, okay? I don't know if that excited you or just made you want to get out of here. But here it is. Two words, okay? Two things. Silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. If we want to try to experience rest, what could we do? We aim for silence and solitude. Let's talk about silence first, okay? When it comes to silence, there's two dimensions of silence. There is internal and external silence. Now, external silence, we get this, okay? It would be eliminating the noise. It's getting people out of your, not out of your life, but away from you so you could be kind of alone and you're not dealing with conversation. If you have a toddler, you can't get rid of them, just want to be really clear, but there's alternatives, right? You got to figure out when the toddler's not crying, that's when you get rid of the noise. But for a lot of us, it's TV, it's music, it's, I don't know, whatever you listen to, podcast, NPR, whatever's your deal. It's learning how to eliminate those. And for some of you, I'm just going to say this, some of you just, you feel like you can't. And you always have to have something on. How many of you drive with something playing no matter what? Like, just be honest, it's cool. I'm not going to pick on you. Okay, I think the rest of you are lying. I think there's only a handful of you that actually drive in silence. Okay, let me do it the other way. How many of you drive in silence more regularly than not? All right, you guys are great. I'd like to meet you afterwards and understand how you're pulling this off. Because even I struggle with this. But the reality is most of us, we have to have something on while we're driving. Whether it's a radio, music, a podcast, just random rain noise, you just got to have something on. Or if you're like my wife, when she's at home, she cannot stand a silent house. She must have the TV on, even if she's not watching. I don't understand it. Here's what she does. She's not here, so I can say the truth. She will put her phone on the counter and put headphones in and then go do something, clean or whatever, work on something. And the phone is out of eyesight, but she's listening to it, and it's just this constant noise. Now, I'm not knocking her and I'm not knocking you, and I do the same thing, especially when I'm driving. But what I'm saying is, if we can find ways at moments, not all the time, to create space by eliminating some of the external noise, we have an ability, an opportunity to experience some external silence. And man, when you start to pull away all those distractions, it can be so helpful. Now, some of us, the reason, and I just want to be clear, I'm not saying this about my wife, though it could be true. Some of us, the reason we have to have something on all the time, TV when you go to bed, headphones in as you fall asleep, is because the internal noise is something you're trying to avoid. It has nothing to do with it being awkward or feeling weird that it's just silent, but it's the things internally, it's that noise that's running around in your head. What does that look like? It's that mental chatter that's constantly going. You made a mistake and you can't stop thinking about it. You said something silly in a conversation and it's just running through your head. Take it deeper. Maybe it's some lustful thoughts that you just can't get out. Maybe it's just these words maybe people have said to you, or maybe you just think about yourself, man, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. This is never going to work. The future is not going to be good. That all of these things are just glimpses of that internal noise. And that stuff grows. And it can be deadly. And so sometimes you're covering up the internal noise by keeping the external noise going. Now, I don't know if that's you, but that might be something to really think about, because that's a tough place, and eventually you'll get to a place where that can be pretty dangerous. The idea here is we want to lean into silence. We want to find ways to be able to block out noise so that we can lean in. And here's the deal. I'm going to say a couple things. One, if you were right now to go home tonight and say, okay, all right, I don't know who that guy was, but I'm going to try this. And you sat down and you cut off all the noise and you just sat there, your mind's probably going to race like crazy. And you're going to think about 100 different things. Now, I just want to tell you, this is my experience as well. But here's the tip. And this is where it takes a little bit of patience. If you will let those thoughts begin to just work through your mind. This is not New Age. I hope you're not freaking out now. We still love God in the Bible, okay? I'm just trying to be helpful here. If you will let those thoughts run through your mind, eventually you will hit a place where you find some quiet. What I like to do is keep something by me that I can write down, or I try not to use my phone because I don't want to be distracted by my phone. I'll think of things like, oh, I need to call that guy. I meant to call him. I didn't. Oh, okay. I need to work on this. Okay, I'm going to write it down. And eventually, as I work through all of those things that have been pent up, there's this weird moment that just happens when it's like, whoa, I think I've worked through all the things that were keeping my mind busy. Remember the light bulb and the alarm clock and the iPhone? I've kind of worked some of that out. And now I'm in a place where I can actually think. Because here's what happens. When we don't do this, when we don't really find a way to lean into silence and solitude, we'll talk about briefly in just a second, we are robbing ourselves of the ability to be present. You're robbing yourself. I'm robbing myself of the ability to be present. Present with myself, present with others, present with God, because it's always noise. And it would be so helpful if you could find a way to work toward these moments of silence. And again, this isn't your whole life. These are just moments. So maybe you go on a walk. Maybe you, I don't know. I don't want to put things in there. I want you to do what you got to do. But maybe it's a walk. Maybe it's just a quiet place where no one's around. And even coffee shops are great. Go to this place. It's awesome. But it's loud in here. Like it's hard to focus. I try to come work on my messages sometimes. I'm like, I'm out of here. I got to go in a room that's quiet. I can't. All these people are walking around. I'm just distracted. So you got to find what works for you. But man, this idea of leaning into silence is so helpful. So maybe this will help. Today, this is funny. I hope nobody is in here that was there today. I went to Orange Theory Fitness today. I go there a lot, but I don't go out here. But I was thinking, man, this would be kind of cool. I'll go work out before I come and speak, and it'll be great. And so I'm in there working out. I don't know anybody because I've never been to this studio before. I won't say what studio it was, but it was 7 minutes away. There you go. And so I'm sitting in there, and I don't know if you know Orange Theory, but it's treadmills and rowers and level floor, and it's pretty high intensity. It's all fun. I like it. And so I'm working out. And in front of me, there are these three girls on the treadmill. So I'm on the row. They're on the treadmill. There's three girls. They're just like, oh gosh, I hope they're not here. If you are, just know I'm not judging you. It's cool. This is helpful. Do you know what a vestin is? Do you know what a vestin is? Anybody? Okay, when you become parents one day, hang on to this. All right, for those who are parents, a vestin is when you vent, but then you find a way to make it a lesson. It's a really good thing. That's my own term. I made it up. If you like it, use it. If not, forget it. Okay, so venting about this, but I think it's going to lead to a lesson. I'm sitting here and I'm just like, I cannot focus because these three girls, they're just like, just lollygagging, talking the whole time, having all this. I'm like, we are here to work, people. Like, I'm that personality. Like, I am here. If I'm coming, I'm putting work in. I want some sweat, maybe even some blood. Not really. But I'm in, and I'm up there just chit-chatting the whole time, just having fun, barely doing anything. No offense if you're here. They're just cruising, right? And I'm just, I don't understand it. Why would you come and not? And then I watched them a little bit longer, and this is where a lesson may come in. I realized there was one girl in the middle, and it wasn't just the girls next to him, even the guys. All kind of did whatever she did. Whatever speed she ran, they kind of did. Whatever pace she rode, they kind of did. And I'm watching, and what I realized, you ready for this? She was a coach. I'm getting in a lot of trouble for this. She was a coach. And what she did, everybody else copied. Whatever speed she ran, until she went really fast, they all quit because it was too fast. But whatever she did, but the whole time, think about this. They're talking, they're hanging out, they're goofing off, and then they're not listening to the coach on the mic. They're following the other coach who's on the tread, and they're just copying whatever she does. And I'm sitting there watching going, oh my gosh, y'all got to do some work, man. I mean, you paid for this. This is crazy. And then I thought about it, and I go, man, this is exactly what it's like. We get, now they were there to work out. That's why I said, no judgment. Good for you. You were there. But while they were working out, they were distracted by each other. They were just doing all this and missing the moment, all the hard work that went into plan that workout and the thought process of, man, if we do this and we do that, they're going to work these muscles. This is going to be great. And they're just hanging out. And I can't imagine what the coach that was on the mic was thinking. Oh my gosh, they're not even listening to me. I'm out here trying to do my job and they're not paying attention. And then I thought about that girl who was the coach. And I thought, man, look at how she influenced everybody around her by what she did. Now, again, good for them. And if you're here, I'll deal with it afterwards and we can talk. But the idea here is this. If you and I can't figure out a way to get into some space where we can get our minds right and get rested up and be recharged up so that we can pour in and help and impact other people, we might run the risk of not only missing the chance to make an impact, but now we might start to detract people because we're no longer paying attention to the thing we're supposed to be doing. And so that's a vessel, right? A vent that hopefully led to a lesson. But the idea here is, man, this is a struggle for all of us. So the last thing I want to say, silence and then solitude. Now, solitude might sound a little new agey, but here's the idea of solitude. It's to break away and to be alone. Now, solitude, listen carefully, and this is the last big thing I'm going to say, and then we'll be done. Solitude is not isolation. Solitude is not isolation. Isolation is an escape. Solitude is engagement. I'm breaking away to engage. And ideally, okay, we're at church. The idea here is we're engaging with God. And this is what Jesus was doing. As he broke away to desolate places, he rested and he worshiped. He rested and he leaned into God. But by leaning into God, he was getting the fuel and the energy he needed to be able to go do the things God had called him to do. And so for you and I, first we got to find silence in the culture we live in today. But then moving to places of solitude throughout our life at different seasons, maybe it's once a week, maybe it's multiple times. I don't know. That's up to you. But as you experience these things, we open up the door for us to experience rest, to move away from distractions, to be able to recharge. And then we're ready for God to use us to do things. And so we know this. We will have limitations. It is tough. But if we prepare for it, if we think about it, we can lean into some of these things and many others, and we can experience rest and we can be recharged. And then, man, we're ready to step out there and make an impact, hopefully for the kingdom of God, but if anything, just for the people that are around you. And so my hope for you, my heart for you would be, whatever you want to do is totally up to you. These are just two things you might want to consider, silence and solitude. But I want you to think about, how can I embrace the idea that I need rest? And so instead of fighting it, trying to push through, let me get ahead of it. And then watch what happens in your life. I think it'll be tremendously helpful. It isn't easy. I do want to say that. Some of you are like, oh, let's go try this tonight. It isn't easy, but it's possible. And the reason I think it's important, because this is exactly what Jesus did when he was walking this earth. And I feel like, man, whatever he did, it seems to be so helpful for so many people. I want to follow in his footsteps.